I want to ask a question tonight. And I think we're familiar with the format we're in, where I'm going to ask a question, but I'm not expecting an answer from you. Okay, so I'll ask a question, and hopefully by the end of this few minutes, I'll give you my answer. And that question is, what do we have to say to a lost and dying world? What do we have? Thought we just went over this. What do we have to say to a lost and dying world? Let's read Matthew 11, 28, 29. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Another verse, Deuteronomy chapter 32. It's a verse we've heard a few times this week. Deuteronomy 32, 31. It says, for their rock is not as our rock. Their rock is not as our rock. In verse 37, and he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted? Their rock is not like our rock, is it? What is the difference? That we have a rock that we've been talking about all week. We have a rock who is very secure in himself. Our God is very secure in himself. And he's different from their rock because their rock, right, the devil, is in his nature very insecure. In the sense that he doesn't want people to discover who he really is. He doesn't want people to discover the way he really thinks. He doesn't want people to discover the plan that he has. Like, look at this rock, right? Looks pretty substantial, doesn't it? Look, this one even has a chip off of it. It looks like it's real. But then we could discover these rocks, right? We put weight on them and it's, oh. There is no substance in that rock. There is nothing of value in the rock. And the rock can do nothing for me, actually. That their rock is insecure and selfish. That what he's doing for himself. And we look at the world, we look out, and there are people who are lost and dying, aren't they? They're lost and dying. For what cause? They don't know. What is supporting them? Who is encouraging them? No one. And as they look in to discover what it is they are doing, they don't find an answer. But they look, the more they look into, the more of a mystery they find in the sense that there's nothing there. It's smoke and mirrors. It's empty. It's like eating a rice cake. Right? That you, the expectation could be for substance and then you crunch into it and it's just like puffed air. And it leaves you hungry, maybe more hungry than you began with the rice cake. But that's what's happening. The lies, the deceptions, the falsehood, it's all out there. And people are following it by the herds, by droves. And they're searching for substance and they're looking for something to hold on to. And as soon as they think they get there, it's gone. And then they're looking for something else. But our God is much different. Our rock is so different that our rock cannot be thought about in our minds in a way. That our rock is outside of what we understand and what we can do. Their rock is leading them in very reasonable things. Things that make sense naturally. But our rock is supernatural. And our rock is so confident in who he is, so secure in himself, that he invites us to come and to learn of him. And He invites us in to discover who He is. And He reveals things to us. Deuteronomy 29:29 says that the secret things belong to God. But the things that He reveals to us, the things that He reveals to us, they are ours forever and from generation to generation. That God has humbled Himself in His security. He humbled Himself and He became a man. And He wasn't worried at all about what would be happening to Him because He was confident in who He is. And imagine that He humbled Himself and He put Himself in the hands of men. When Christ came into Jerusalem, and when He found Himself standing before Pilate, what was He there to do? Was He there to defend Himself? Did he need to show Himself worthy of anything? Did He need to prove who He was? No. But only because He was so secure in who He is, and He was not worried about what man would do to Him. But actually, the man that was standing in front of Him, who was judging Him, was there by Him. And like Pilate said to Him, aren't you going to answer me? Don't you understand the power that I have right now? And the answer from this bloodied little man standing there, bound by chains, embarrassed, was, you don't have anything unless I gave it to you. So get on with it. I have something to do for the world. Do your part, Pilate. Right? This is not about you. This is about me. And I have so much confidence that I don't care about you. Right? Like, I am secure in myself. He died for us. He died for us. And He has invited us into a fellowship with His death, with His burial, and His resurrection. He's not worried that I would come up there and take Him out. He's not worried about anything. And in the grace of God, the grace of God shows the confidence of God. Because why would He invite me into a relationship with the Trinity? Right? He invites me into this relationship, and He's not worried about it, but He gives to me. And He calls me to the rock, and He says, look into the rock, discover the rock, understand who the rock is, understand what you have in it. And the more you look into this rock, the more you come to this rock, the more you will understand who He is. And in discovering who He is, you will discover who you are, because you are discovering our God. You are discovering the One who is holding the universe together by the power of His Word. And you are discovering what real security is. You are discovering what real confidence is. And you are discovering that God loves you. And He doesn't love you because you can do anything in return. That would be insecure. That would be Him giving you something based on what you can give back to Him. But He has given you something based on who He is in Himself. And He is giving it freely. And it has to be that way. It has to be so free. Because if it wasn't, it would not be secure. It would not be something that I could build on. It would be something that I could manipulate or that I could grasp. There's no condemnation in this rock because He's not insecure. He's very secure. And we can read the book of Genesis, chapter 3, what happens? Oh, the fall of man. It says there in verse 1, there was a serpent. The serpent. Revelation chapter 12 says, that old serpent. Right? Pastor Stevens would say, God, it's good when God's people get a little rough with the devil, right? And throwing words. That old serpent. God called him old and called him a serpent. It's good. That old serpent. He's insecure. That old serpent is deceiving. He's deceptive. He does his work. He plants his doubt, and Eve eats the fruit. Passes it to Adam. He eats the fruit. Where does the serpent go? God comes to visit man. Where are you? This is when you discover me. This is where we have fellowship. But they're hiding. And they said, the serpent told us. Who speaks after that? Who speaks? God speaks. The devil does not speak back in Genesis chapter 3. He doesn't have anywhere to stand before God. But he is judged and he is moved along. And then the conversation is between God and Adam. And he dresses him. He makes him something. He prepares him something and makes it for him. Puts him out of the garden, but then gives him the promise. And here we are, right? Here we are, wondering how can we relay this message on to a lost and dying world? We can do that by discovering the rock. By walking into the freedom, walking in the liberty that we are given, because God is not concerned, He is not worried, He is not insecure about us messing up. But He is inviting us to come unto Him. To forget all our preconceptions, forget all of our burdens, the things that are bending, that are breaking us. Kenneth Weiss says, the things that are you are bending under the pressure of this stuff, forget it. Come to me, discover the rock, and as you go into the rock, you will understand who you are. You will. In closing, one more scripture. Exodus 20, 25. If you will make an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone. For if you lift up your tool upon it, you have polluted it. God has given us every material necessary to bring this message to a lost and dying world. He has given us His message. His message is clear. His message is love. And He is not needing us to manipulate it or change it in any way. He says, pick up a stone and put it there. That stone is what I have prepared. Don't touch it. You don't need to make it pretty. You don't need to change it. Don't fly any other flag. But take the things that I have given you, that I have spoken to you, as you have discovered me, take those things, put them up, and they will draw people to them, to me, right? If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And then we are like the woman in John chapter 4 who turns around, she sees Christ, and she says, come and see a man. Come and see a man. I have discovered Him. I have looked into Him. I have been loved by Him. There is depth there that I have no idea about. But the more I go into it, the more I discover that there must be more. It's a mystery. But this mystery is so solid. It is a rock. And He has invited us into it and said, discover me. Imagine there's no show. There is just God. And He's saying, I have nothing to hide. I am, here I am. Come and discover me. Right? He's not like, okay, here's a, you know, get a ticket here. And like Pastor Mati's message last night that was so funny. Meet the barber under the bank sign. Right? He's like, I don't need a haircut, obviously. Right? But meet me under the bank sign. The barber will bring you to the embassy. And it's like, what? Like, that's so confusing. There's so many ways I could get lost. But He says, come unto me and learn of me because I am meek. I have the power to crush you, but I am meek and I am inviting you to come to me because I love you. And I am so secure in my love. I'm not worried about what you are doing. I am who I am, right? I am who I have been. Sin changed man in Genesis chapter 3. Sin changed man, but it did not change God. It did not change God's heart. It did not change what He thinks about me. And here we are, fellowshipping in the reality of what Christ has done for us. And He has implanted something inside of us, and He sheds it abroad in our hearts so much that we turn around and we just say, do you know Jesus? That's what we have to say to a lost and dying world. How simple is that? Do you know Jesus? They say, no. You say, well, I don't know what to say now. No, we could say anything, right? We could say anything. Some people might run away. Some people might slam the door. But some people will be broken. They will be in tears. And they will be saying, this is what I need. My soul is thirsty for truth. And we have the truth. The truth is not hiding. The truth is not worried. And the truth is not saying, hey, can you help me out? Can you make this stone look good? Can you like chisel a cute message in it? Can you paint something on it that would make it look better? He's saying, just pick up the rock and put it down, right? And show people who I am. That is enough. And how is the, what's the best way to do that? What's the best way to show people who he is? Find out who he is. Go into the rock. Discover the rock. Be in the rock. Be known by him. It's about God and our lives being made. We are made alive in God and we worship him. And he meets us. He tells us secrets. And they are ours. We build our lives on them. We raise our children on them. We reach a city through them. We reach a state through them. We reach a country through them. We reach a train station through them. Whatever it is, open your mouth and tell people what you have discovered. That's what we're called to do. It's all by the grace of God. It's all because who he is. He is the rock. He is secure. He is not worried. And he has called us to do his work. Amen? Amen.
Okay, if you'd stand with me. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Thank you, Pastor Bailey. What a great message. Wow. What a great man. And yes, Pastor Morrison's a great man. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Schaller and Lisa, for your lives. Thank you really so much. Wow. My wife and I were talking about them tonight, and it was just like, they're an amazing couple. He's an amazing pastor. And I count it a great privilege to be able to be in this church. And just to be part of this work, it's like phenomenal. This is a rock from my hometown, my grandfather's house in Sicily. This rock is useless. I kept it. I was there in 2010, and I brought it back, and I realized, like, this rock is useless. It's like something on it, but it's like, what? You can't get in it, and you can't get on it. You can't live on it, and you can't get in it. But our rock, we can be on it and live in that rock. So Philippians, when we think about the rock, we think about stability, confidence, and really just security and safety, and something that's immovable. And this is what Paul was speaking to the Philippians. So Philippians chapter 1, verse 7, there's two verses. One of them, they both speak about defense. Defense. And the word defense is apologia. And it means an answer. I have an answer. Pastor Bailey said, we have an answer. It's an answer. It's a word that's an answer. And both of them in these two verses are connected. One is to grace and one is to love. So we have the answer is the word of grace and the answer is the word of love. And that's what we have. So Philippians 1 verse 7, it says this, even as it is meet or fit for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. I love that. Don't you love that? Paul says to the Philippians, I have you in my heart. Half of the translation says, you have me in your heart. I think they're both true. He had them in his heart. They had him in their heart. And that's what a great church like this is all about, that we are in each other's hearts. And that's amazing. I have you in my heart, inasmuch both in my bonds and in the defense. The what? And confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of. And he calls it my grace. Doesn't say Jesus said this, my grace, 2 Corinthians 12:9. Paul said this, my grace. I'm a partaker of the divine nature. Then verse 17, it says, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. I've been positioned for the defense of the gospel. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you for this ministry. Many great ministries worldwide. You have positioned us to give an answer, to have a word of grace and a word of love. We are positioned, and it means placed in rest. We are set to give an answer for the gospel, the good news to people. We thank you that as we see this missions night and people from all over the world, people watching in from all over the world, that you have placed us and positioned us for the defense of the gospel. Thank you. Help us, God, to reach these people and these countries where people are lost. They are sinking into an eternity without Christ. Help us, God. Help us to be motivated continually. Thank you for this ministry. Thank you for the emphasis of this ministry. Reaching people, loving God, being loved by Him, and reaching people. Bless our night tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Some people say it's the first time we've ever seen you wear an African shirt. You're right. It is the first time. My wife says, wear an African shirt. You listen to your wife. That's great. We were evangelizing in Baltimore. I think, today's Friday? Maybe, I don't know. When did we go out? Thursday. And it was hot. And I was down in the market, Northeast Market, and hanging onto a mailbox. I was a little bit like funny, dizzy, and sweating. I sweat in the winter, so I, you know, this is just how it is. And I was thinking to myself, what am I doing? Like, this is not smart. And somebody came up and just grabbed me, put their arms around me. They said, Pastor Schiavelli, it's been 24 years. I said, yeah. 24 years what? They said, I haven't seen you in 24 years. She said, do you remember me? I said, not really, but you look familiar. You do look like I know your face. She said, Dr. Stevens came to my house in Hollander Ridge and led me and my husband to Christ. You came with him and you were in the house and you took all of my pills and threw them in the trash. She said, I had been preparing to commit suicide with the pills. She said, we're both saved and we're walking with God. And she said to me, I don't know. I haven't seen you in 24 years, but we're walking with God to this day. Now, Hollander Ridge is gone, but they're not. Okay, that rock went down. That thing, I remember seeing it bulldozed. That's gone. But Gino and Bernice are still around. And I thought that was amazing. Like I would meet them this week, and they would remember. And then we actually did a Bible study in their house for 1 year. And with Scott Marcouche, remember? Scott Marcouche. Him and I would get on a bus in 1993. And he was kind of the leader. I was new here. And he would pick up like 40 to 45 people from Hollander Ridge on a bus and bring them here. He was an incredible man of God. He is. Soul winner, door knocker, tireless. Wow. And these verses really reflect our ministry in such an incredible way. That we have been set for the defense of the gospel. God has positioned us. But before we can be a people who really live in understanding that as far as the gospel, we have been taught for decades and we still are being taught about who we are in. I am in Christ. You know, there's so few people around the planet today in Christianity that understand positional truth. They really understand and see positional truth, that we are in Christ. before I really begin to understand what it means as far as bringing the gospel and missions and a lost and dying world and having a ministry that will reach out, I need to know first who I'm in. I'm not in the gospel first. I'm first in Christ. And I begin to see that taking place, and I begin to realize that. And positional truth becomes a part of my very being. I know who I am. I think there's a song about that, right? I know who I am. I also sang another song in Brooklyn, I Know Who I'm Not. Okay? And that's also a song, but I don't want to bring that in now. But I realized who I am. I never knew who I was in Christ. I was saved, but I did not know who I was in Christ till I met the ministry. And I was taught the Word of God by Dr. Stevens and pastors and people in Bible school and just amazing men of God teaching positional truth. Before I can be positioned for the gospel, I need to first of all know who I am in Christ. And that is really key. That's why Bible college, my wife told me they got a number of new applicants, right? And she told me last night, she's over there where I'm sitting over there trying to draw in new applicants. Maybe when they see me, they run, but I don't know what that means. Really, like Bible school, you realize and you come to an understanding of who you are in Christ. Amen? I mean, there's not an ability crisis in Christianity. There's an identity crisis. That's first. That comes first. And because people do not know who they are. If D.L. Moody doesn't know, he's not just a shoe salesman, but he's a preacher of the gospel. 1 million people never get saved. I mean, I'm not saying they wouldn't, but I'm saying that he led 1 million people to Christ without technology in his meetings. But he didn't know who he was. He had no idea who he was. And when you know who you are, is this who you are? Adoniram Judson, are you a man who knows five languages when you're 12 years old? Is this who you're going to be, an intellectual who will teach at universities to become something famous as that kind of a person with success in America? Or will you go to the armpit of the earth, which is called Burma? Sorry, that's what he said. And will you be the person that you can trace 200,000 souls to Judson's life? Are you with me? Know who I am. Know whom I'm in. All right? I can't get in this rock. Try to get in this, any rock. But Christ is in me and I am in him. And this is so key in my life. There is such an attack by the enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil on who we are in Christ. Forget about what we do, about doing. You know, like a lot of people talk about doing all the time, and I certainly understand that. But Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God, and this grace caused me to labor more abundantly than you all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. He understood who he was. Can you imagine the attacks on his mind from the devil and religious spirits and what was going on, what he did and how he attacked the church? He had to understand his position in Christ before he undertook the message of the gospel to a lost and dying world. I'm in. I've been set. I'm in. I'm in Christ. And I know that you can sit there and we can say, I know that. I know that. Well, you know what? I need to know that every moment of every day. So that I will make decisions based upon who's in me and whom I'm in. And this is key. This is so important. That's why, as we've heard before, and I've said, the student volunteer movement sent 20,500 missionaries from America. It was the greatest missionary movement in the history of Christianity. And they went all over the world, and they were all young people. They understood it was foreign missions, not career ambitions. And there's just a lot of Christianity that's just dealing with the career thing and the biological life, when this world, with its 7.2 billion people, which I would say close to 6 billion, maybe more, are lost. They estimate maybe only 600 million born-again believers out of 7 billion. That's what the estimate is. Hey, we're never going to be unemployed. We got something to do. Are you kidding me? I've been positioned. I've been set for the defense of the gospel. I know who I am in and who's in me. Secondly, do I know that I'm in the body? Hello? It's not churchianity, it's Christianity. I'm in the body. The second great illumination in my life is know who I am in the church, in the body of Christ, a member in particular. I haven't even gotten to the gospel yet. We're coming. All right. I know who I am in the body of Christ. And really, it's amazing to me how the enemy, okay, they're saved now. That's, oh, I can't do anything about that, but let me keep them from a good church. Let me keep them from fellowship. Let me keep them from all that's taking place where they can really grow and have an effect. I'll do everything I can to blind them to that. I blinded them so they wouldn't get saved. They got saved. Satan didn't say, I think I'll walk away now they're saved and never even get involved with them at all and leave them alone. No, he says, I'm stepping up the attack. I'm stepping up the attack so they will not know who they are in the church. And there's such a spirit today of independence. As I go through the globe and across the world, I see Christianity and such incredible independence that you can't even get people to come to church once a month in many places. It's like body life, church life, what's that all about, you know? And because people have been damaged unconsciously and subconsciously by maybe participating in actual events or organizations per se, or whatever you want to call them, and not experiencing life, they've walked away saying that doesn't work. They've walked away. But when I know who I am in Christ, I know who I am in the body. Now, when that is solid, that's secure, I'm growing in that. Now I know who I am in the gospel. And I believe that's the Father. The first one is the Son. The second one is in the body by the Spirit. The third one is the Father's plan, the gospel. To bring the gospel. I am positioned for the defense of the gospel. I've been placed there, and Paul was placed there. Can you imagine? Not only did he understand that, he wanted the Philippians to understand it. They had pagans all around them. They had the Jews of the circumcision coming at them on every side. They had the Roman government controlling the whole world. Are you with me? I mean, I was thinking about Paul when he was at Mars Hill. He was all by himself in Athens at Mars Hill, and he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. What did he do? Run away? He said his spirit was stirred. Oh, it's such a wicked world out there. There's so many this lost people. There's so many religious people. There's so much going on out there. Well, the spirit should be stirred. Spirit should be stirred. I said, yes. Yes, I've got God, and I have an opportunity to bring this message to tell people who he is, what he's done. Positioned. Position. Not only is the man's position first, or whatever, but the church's position. As a ministry, we've been positioned, we've been set for the defense of the gospel. This is the vision. We haven't been set for politics. We haven't been set to make money. We haven't been set for all these things that the world is after and chasing. We've been positioned for the defense of the gospel. To give this world the answer, which is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's awesome. This church in Baltimore is positioned. If you're from Baltimore, stand up. If you're from Baltimore, just stand right up. Come on. All right, say, I'm set. Say it to yourself. I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're set for the defense of the gospel. Well, thank you. You may be seated. I've been positioned for the answer. The word of grace and the word of love. I am set. And the word set actually also brings in the idea of a word that brings rest. I'm positioned with a word of the gospel. Azerbaijan, are you here? How come I can't see people? Is it too dark in here or something? Seems like it's dark. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. You're from Azerbaijan. Where are you? You've been what? You've been positioned in Baku, Azerbaijan for the what? I can't hear you. The defense of the gospel. Indians from India, stand up. Stand up. Come on. What are you doing in India? What are you doing? What are you doing in India, in Bangalore, Mumbai? What are you doing there? You're what? You're positioned for the answer, the word of the gospel. Are you, Nepal. Where's Nepal? Stand up there. Yeah, Nepal. What are you doing in Nepal? Are you climbing mountains? Are you breathing in and looking for the best air in the world? Huh? Are you, what are you doing there? Your position for what? The defense of the gospel. All of you South American people from Pastor, stand up. Where are you? This is like a charge. Huh? I can't see you. Where are you? Well, we met the other day. Yes. You've been positioned in South America in all those countries with your 36 churches. You're placed there for the what? Defense of the gospel. Africans, come on. Come on, get up from Africa. Yes. What are you doing there? Huh? Are you learning culture? Huh? Are you trying to make it better? Are you trying to bring in technology? Are you trying to bring in more education? Or are you set? What happened? You sat down already. Huh? Or are you set for the defense of the gospel? Amen? Are you listening? Europeans, get up. You're from Europe. Stand up. Europe and Eastern Europe. Hey, wave me some flags. Wave me some flags. You know what you're doing in Europe? Huh? What are you doing in Europe? Huh? Being part of the European Union? Huh? Whatever that means. What are you doing in Europe? Getting yourself an education? What are you doing? I'm just here to raise children and have a good time in life and retire. I don't even know what that means. What are we doing there? We're what? I can't hear you. We're what? Set for the defense of the gospel. Amen? China. China. Yes, I'm using the word. Yes, I'm using the word. Yes. What are you doing? Tourist visits to the Great Wall? Huh? Developing Chinese food and restaurants? Somebody once gave me some Chinese socks. They couldn't even get them over my heel. All my luggage was taken by somebody, and they brought me clothes in Africa, and I said, wow, these people are small. What are you doing? You're not playing in China with this rock, are you? What are you doing? You're set, say it, for the defense of the gospel. You got a word of love and a word of grace for the defense of the gospel. Amen? That's awesome. That's amazing. Did I have all the Americans stand up? Did I even forget you? Stand up, this awesome country. Brooklyn, New York. Yes. What are you doing in America? What are you doing in America? Huh? What are you learning in America? Huh? I'm what? I'm set. I'm what? I'm set for the defense of the gospel. I can't hear you. I'm what? Set for the defense of the gospel. Wow, there's a lot of you here. Awesome. You may be seated. Wow. I'm excited. Aren't you excited tonight? We've been positioned by God. We've been positioned by the Son. We've been positioned by the Spirit. And we've been positioned in the Father's plan. You know what? Satan can't touch that. He can't touch that. He can't get in. And we can't get out. Isn't that awesome? He can't get in and we can't get out. We are secure in that place. I've been positioned for the defense, for a word, an answer. An answer of the gospel. Hudson Taylor goes to China and with 24 men evangelizes all of known China. Hudson Taylor and his 24 men were positioned, set for the defense of the gospel in China. They grew braids, long hair. They had Chinese clothes. Why did they do that? So they could reach people. They were there to be a people that would reach people, that would start churches. Jonathan Goforth goes to Manchuria. He's 70 years old. I love it. He's 70 years old and he goes on the mission field. Everybody over 60, stand up. Come on. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't do this. Maybe I shouldn't do this. Some people are like, why is he doing this? Listen. Listen. Hello. Listen. You need us. You need us. We're not all. We're eternal. We've been positioned for the defense of the gospel. Oh, you're getting your retirement. What are you going to do? Here's your retirement. Listen. I'm sorry. Coop. Pastor Cooper, I'm sorry. Just gave you a new job. Yeah, you're getting up there, aren't you? Somebody said to me, like, when are you going to stop this traveling craze? I said, when I'm in heaven. What do you think? Would you like me to do, sit home and weave? Sit home and knit? Sit home and play checkers? I'm not against checkers and weaving and all that. But you know what God has done? He's placed me here for the defense of the gospel. I thank God for Pastor Ron. Ron, Pastor Ron, where are you? Raise your hand. When I came here, by the way, Dr. Stevens told me 3 times not to come. I was disobedient. No, he said to me, don't come, don't come, don't come, on 3 separate phone calls. I said, I can't stay in this place. I'm not what you call a person that can put something back together. Okay, I'm coming to Baltimore. He goes, come, because it's God's will. He was testing me. And I came here, and it was so amazing. Because God put me in a church that was positioned for the defense of the gospel, the answer of the gospel. I got to be in a place and not be there and trying to figure out what's happened, what's going on, what can I do, but came to a place where in a church and a ministry that was positioned to bring the gospel into all the world. Isn't that awesome? We've been set there for the defense of the gospel. And this is key. And the enemy is always trying to come at us with all these situations and problems. And I can say, and we love our family. Something goes wrong in the family. I'd like to tell you something, enemy. I'm set for the defense of the gospel. I'm set. Hollander Ridge is gone. Hollander Ridge is gone. The world is passing away. But we've been positioned to bring this message of who he is and what he's done. That God loves you, that he gives you grace, that you can be born again. We've been positioned for that. We're in a country someplace. We're in a town someplace. We're in a nursing home. We're raising up children. We're in Christian school. Isn't that awesome? GGCA or wherever it may be, in India or Africa. And you're there as a teacher. You've been positioned and you got the answer, and it's the gospel for these young people. We got Bible schools all over. We got 3,400 students. And those students are learning the Bible because they are being prepared and developed to be positioned for the defense of the what? Of the gospel. Wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, I've got to recognize that truth and realize that truth and live in that truth. Abraham, Genesis 12. You're set for the defense of the gospel. Exodus chapter 3, you're set for the defense of the gospel. Joseph, you're set for the defense of the gospel. Are you with me? Elijah, 1 Kings 17 through 19, you're set for the defense of the gospel. Jonah, you want to run away? Do you realize where you're running to? Nowhere. You've been positioned, even in your disobedience and your anger, for the defense of the gospel, and all of Nineveh gets saved. Hello. Hello? Isn't that awesome? You 11 Galileans are positioned, placed for the defense of the gospel. He took 11 uneducated, unlearned men with no money, and he said, you're going to bring the message. Really? They must have been looking at themselves going, oh my God, me? We've been positioned. These Galileans are positioned. I love it how Jesus did this. He said in Acts 1, 7 and 8, we're going to go Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. He forgot Galilee. He never mentioned Galilee. Why? They were all Galileans. It wasn't an option. Don't take it wrong. Just take it as the Bible. He never mentioned Galilee. I always wonder, why didn't he mention Galilee? He wanted them. They were going to be positioned to bring the gospel. You know, Andrew's name means just a man. Andrew was always bringing people to Jesus. Always. He brought Peter to Jesus. He brought Scythians and he brought all kinds of people to Jesus. He brought the Greeks to Jesus. He was positioned, as Peter was, for the answer, which is the gospel. What a privilege it is, isn't it? To be in a ministry, in a church, in a calling, in a purpose, in a life where I am positioned to bring an answer to a lot. We have the answer. The government doesn't have the answer. The UN definitely doesn't have the answer. I loved it one time. I was in a country and they ordered, they ordered a whole bunch of people out. And I saw the vehicles and I said, this is great for the gospel. Positioned for the gospel. Positioned. Set there. Paul says, I'm set there for the defense of the gospel. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where it will take me. I don't know what I'll be doing. But I know one thing. I've been positioned. And whatever it is, I'm in a church. And maybe I'm there and I'm doing something I think is very insignificant. And it's not insignificant because you're a member in particular of a body that's set for the defense of the gospel. It's awesome. It's amazing. Mothers raising their children. Nursery workers, people helping out on a daily basis, giving finances. We're here to, what? We're there. There's a provision. We're supporting all these churches around the world, 654 of them. Are you with me? We went up in 12 years. We went 360 churches in the last 11 years. We've gained 366 churches in 11 years. You know, that's like 30-something a year. By the time we reached 2027, I believe God for 1,000. Hello? Why? Not because of us, but because of Jesus. Not because of what I do in labor, but because of the finished work. We are positioned. God's placed us right here. Right here. I mean, I never lived in Lenox, you know. I had a hard time with birds, grass, trees, and quietness. I was raised with gunfire, drug addicts, craziness, you know. So I was so happy. please don't take that wrong. Take it any way you want. We've been positioned. We've been positioned. And the enemy hates it. He's going to do everything he can to get me. Don't leave your church. Somebody say that. Yeah, I'm not leaving this church, okay? Don't leave this church. All right? Don't even get up right now and go to the bathroom. Forget that. Listen. We've been positioned, and we have a high and holy calling. And he said it, go, 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 go. Just keep, by the way, the word going is not going to all the world and preach the gospel, it's going. It's in the present imperative, keep going. Why? We've been positioned by God. We are in Christ, in the body, and in the Father's plan with the gospel. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you, God. We have been positioned for the defense of the gospel. Paul says, everything that's happened unto me, he sees it as a furtherance of the gospel. It's amazing. He said, let your conversation be in the gospel. He says, we've got the unity and faith of the gospel in Philippians 1:27. Thank you for the message of good news. The good news is Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross. That's good news. Great news, glad news. Amazing news. That's what we have to give people. There's a lot of bad news out there. But we're here. We're here giving Gino and Bernice good news. Hollander Ridge is gone. But they're still around. Thank you, God, for the message of the gospel. We've been positioned. We've been placed. We are there. Daniel, positioned in Babylon for the defense of the gospel. It's amazing. It's amazing. Rome. Romans 1:5 and 8. Paul says to the Romans in a place of unbelievable sin and evil. He says, you're going to reach all nations in verse 5 and all the world in verse 8. You've been positioned in Rome for the gospel. I'm a debtor. I am ready and I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. If you are here tonight or watching on the internet, you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. This is the gospel. The person of Christ, the work of the cross, the blood of the Son of God, shed for you. Sin finished. Forgiven. Your sins, as we heard the other night, your sins are forgiven. Thank you. That's the gospel. The person and the work of God. That's your prayer tonight with our eyes closed, our heads bowed. It's a decision of the will. Say yes to Jesus. If you're in the auditorium, put your hand up. Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. I'm not born again. Save me. Jesus, save me. On the internet, Jesus, save me. Across the world, we've been positioned tonight. We've got an answer, and it's the gospel. We thank you. We've been set there, placed there, positioned there. We're resting there. We've got a word of love and a word of grace. The answer of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Could we turn on the lights for a minute? Yeah, just so we can just talk for a minute. Yeah, wow. Imagine a few things. We are very touched tonight by the messages and what we see here. Yeah, and just think of how many languages are up here on the stage and how many pastors, Bible college students, how much money, how many miles, how many kilometers, how many hours studying, how many tracks, how many sketchboards, how many schools, how many prayers for the sick, how many funerals, face-to-face services, how many old people are getting ministered to? How many children are being educated? How many radio programs that are happening? And here's something I want to challenge everybody here, all of us in this. We just heard amazing messages. The devil would like, I think Pastor Schiavelli said, once you are saved, the devil's not finished. He wants to keep you away from a mission. He wants to tell you, here's one of the lies. If you follow God, you'll be poor. Look at these people. If you give all your life to God, you'll end up with nothing. The lies to keep us from doing this. The lies that keep us from going. The lies that say, stay home, stay safe, mind your own business, play it safe, tiptoe through life, and make it safely to the grave. That's what you should do. And in the world, Pharaoh is saying to the Jews, what are you doing talking about going out of Egypt? You must build my cities and build my pyramids. Who is the Lord that I would obey him? You're crazy. You're out of your minds. But this is more than, 40 years of faith by you and me and us, and nobody's really counting. But at the same time, we have a right to say to the whole world, it's true, it's needed, it's important, and we're going to do it. Because when Jesus sent out the 70, wasn't it? He sent out the 70, and they came back, and he said, didn't I say that you didn't need anything, that I would go with you and I would provide for you? And how many miles, cars, buses, airplanes, boats, taxis, ferries, bicycles, donkeys, horses, footsteps where we have been protected, we have been provided for? And for some, God gave wives, as sometimes children. And most importantly, or along in the same category, he gave disciples. People that have said, is Jesus real? And we said, yeah, let's go. Okay? Now here's the call for us tonight. Just however you want to think of it. Do you want to go? You want to go? You want to do it? I mean, some, we have to be here. Some of us are called to be here. Some of us have work here. And Pastor Chevelli said, Hollander Ridge is gone, but the fruit remains. God needs us in our country. We're on a mission. We're on a mission. Say this with me. Kind of put up your hand and go like this, you know. We're on a mission. Kind of like say it dramatically. We're, you know, like say it with, you know, like we're say we're on a mission. Yeah, we're on a mission. Okay. Listen, get up in the morning, go out the door and say to your wife, kiss, I love you. We're on a mission. Okay. Okay. Listen, we are on a mission. We raise our families. We support our churches. We give in faith promise. We support and we say prayers. And also some could go. And some could go. Some get training. We come and get our training and we learn to meditate and memorize and give an answer. And like Pastor Bailey said, know who God is. And when we learn who God is, then we can go anywhere in the world. And we can say we got the greatest message. And it's Jesus Christ that sends laborers into the fields. Yeah, and this is not an accident. This is very costly. This costs our lives. But we don't have anything to gain anyway. We're going to lose them anyway. Why not lose them this way? Where nobody's keeping anything. We're all on the road of corruption. Our outer man is perishing. Have you noticed when they got up on the platform? We were just praying they could get down from the platform without impaling anybody with the flag. Our outer man is perishing, but the inner man, we have a treasure. We got a treasure. Okay, so not in any theatrical way, but maybe it's good for someone here. And you don't have to do that. Nobody's looking. I mean, I'm not looking in one way. I am looking, but I just want to give you the opportunity. If, you know, God is speaking to your heart, you don't know how it'll happen, but you're saying, I am somehow available. I am interested in following Christ and this mission and this faith. Maybe someday I would go. I'm looking to God for that. Then I could ask you just to stand up. Pastor Chevelli, you want to come up here? Just stay standing. Just great. And maybe I there could be others, but I mean, I'm just, you know, so just want you to look at it. Okay, so that's great. Yeah, all right. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this night, this whole week. It's amazing that you said there's no man that has given up his father, mother, children, houses, lands, and hasn't returned, given, I hasn't received in return 100-fold sisters and brothers and mothers and lands with persecutions. You have been faithful, Lord. And may others learn, may we all learn, and some that are here standing, every one of them, would you lead them, would you bless them, guide them, Would you lead us, Lord, in times of prayer? Would you lead us, Lord, in faith? Would you help us open our mouths and to share? Would you help us weep? We don't maybe weep enough about it. I'm the first one to say, and just to say, Lord, really show us more and lead us, Lord. And thank you for all of these people up on their stage and the thousands of people that are behind them. In a certain sense, we literally affect probably millions of people. Millions of, very possibly just millions of people are affected by this small work, but with a mighty God, a living God, the rock that is not other rocks. Yes, Jesus, please look on this evening, Lord, and every heart here, and lead us in more of this work. May it be just more of this work of lifting up Jesus Christ, your Son, in whom you are well pleased. All the classes, all the things we touch, all of the things, Father, take care of us. And bless it all, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
All about any questions on missions, right?
In here?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll do it right here.
Is that it, Pastor? Okay. At 10:30, in 1 hour, there'll be a wrap here with Pastor Shabelli and others on missions. The whole wrap will be about missions. Any questions you have, and so that'll be in here. Let's all stand, jump up and down two or three times, and just say, yeah, praise the Lord, and hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. You are. Yeah, the beach balls are yours, so take them home. Don't fight over them. God bless you. You're dismissed.